This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got a big win at the Supreme Court today. We'll talk about that. Jim Jordan is here to update us on things. Abby Johnson, Bill Jacobson, all that and more coming up on I'm Right. So I know a lot of guys in law enforcement, just for various reasons. Look, I'm a 44-year-old dude. I would venture to guess many dudes my age know guys in law enforcement, cops, former cops, federal, state, local, military. It's just, I know a lot of guys in that world. And as it pertains to the police world, I love to talk about crime with them, criminals, trying to get inside the mind of people. And, you know, everybody likes a good action cop movie. I want to know, what are the stories? There is a disturbing thing that has come up over and over and over again throughout the course of my life that I have run into when I have conversations with my cop friends. And that disturbing thing is this. Murderers. That's a bad thing, right, to be a murderer. Murderers can reform, have a change of heart. I'm not saying let them out of prison or anything like that. I'm not saying that, but they can reform, genuinely repent. I never want to kill again. Thieves, same thing. This is bad. Tired of living this life. I want to go. Thieves can reform. Hey, I never want to be a thief again. Drug guys, same thing. It's bad. I've decided I'm going to change my ways. Never want to change it again. My cop friends have told me my entire life that child predators cannot be reformed. It's not humanly possible. Do whatever you want to them. Lock them in a cage, whatever. You do whatever you want to them. That if you are a child predator, no matter what else happens, it is always in there. You can't get it out. There is something demonic and broken in there. People who are predators of children, they never stop. Even if they're not physically doing it at the moment, they're thinking about it. They never, ever, ever stop. The reason I brought up this uncomfortable subject is when Democrats are in power in the country, certainly when they're in power nationally, we see so many of the evil, evil things they do in our faces, because they throw them in our faces. When Democrats lose power, national power, federal power, they're communists, so they're smart enough to see which way the wind is blowing, and they'll take so many of those evil urges, evil things that go on inside of them, and they'll bury them a little bit. And what happens when they bury them a little bit is you forget, and I forget. Because we don't wake up every single day and there's some horrible freak. But Democrats, communists are child predators. Now, I'm not talking about just in the traditional horrible way. They're after your children. They have always been after your children. Lenin talked about it. Stalin, you name the communist leader. They have always understood that if they can get the children, recruit the children, get them while they're young, then you will have a strong chance of owning that person, of that person becoming a communist foot soldier the rest of their lives. You know, we've brought it up before. It's one of those stories. It's amazing how many Americans don't know it. The Cambodian genocide brought about by the Cambodian communists. The communists took over Cambodia in the 1970s. And in 4 years, they butchered 25% of the population. 25%, that's a higher percentage than any other monster in history achieved. Now, some people know that, many people know that. What most people do not know is at S21. S21 is the most famous of the horrible Cambodian dungeon prisons, torture centers, whatever you want to call it. Thousands and thousands of people went in. A handful went out. I think the number is 7. Don't quote me on that. It's a small, small number actually survived it. Everyone who went in died. And you died terribly. Tortured to death, oftentimes beaten to death with sticks. By who? When I say something like that, an evil communist dungeon beating someone to death, I know what image pops into my head. I picture some dude my age, maybe my size. I'm 6'8", some big, old, graying, balding gargoyle, just a big, evil, grizzled old man. Teenagers. Young ones, too. When I say teenagers, I'm not talking 18. Oh, there were plenty of 18-year-olds. I'm talking 14-year-olds with hatchets, broom handles, beating people to death. Communists love child soldiers. Communists are child predators. And that hasn't gone away just because we won a big election in November and sure we're attacking DEI and the Pride Month stuff seems like it's kind of fading away a little bit. We have to remember that the child predators, it's still in there. They may not be as loud. They may not be snatching up that kid from a school. It's still in there. The desire, you can't get it away. Remember this from the Gay Men's Choir?
We'll convert your children. Happens bit by bit, quietly and subtly, and you will barely notice it. You can keep him from disco, warn about San Francisco, make him wear pleated pants, we don't care. We'll convert your children. We'll make them tolerant and fair. We're coming for them. We're coming for your children. We're coming for them.
We're coming for them.
We're coming for your children.
We're coming for them.
We're coming for them.
Your children will care about fairness and justice for others. Your children will work to convert all their sisters and brothers. Then soon we're almost certain your kids will start converting you. The gay agenda is coming home. The gay agenda is here.
Let me ask you something. Every fruit in that video, people who wrote that song, composed that song. Trump won election in an election last November. You think those people have changed their thinking? You think they're no longer interested in your children? Do I need to remind you how pervasive this is on children's programming on television? Are you still letting Aiden, Jaden, and Braden watch Nickelodeon?
Maybe blue, pink, and white represent transgender people, because every letter in LGBTQ plus is equal. And black and brown represent the queer and trans people of color. Doesn't it just fill you with pride, showing who you are on the inside? Wave that pride flag up high, be true to you.
Show your pride, wave those flags, everybody.
Nickelodeon. When I was a child, my mom used to let me watch Nickelodeon. It was old episodes of Mary Tyler Moore and the Andy Griffith Show, I believe. Today, the child predators are running television networks. They're singing in choirs, and they have not changed because they cannot change, because child predators do not change. You see this over and over and over again, and I pointed out the Fruitcake Choir. Let's talk about your child's teacher. You, of course, remember what it was like under the Biden administration when every freak teacher in this country wanted to fly some Black Lives Matter flag or Pride flag and do the most terrible things in the world. And sure, lots of those flags have come down, but remember, the mentality still remains, your children, they think they're their children.
When your children walk into our classroom, they become ours.
The children are always ours, every single one of them, all over the globe. And I am beginning to suspect that whoever is incapable of recognizing this may be incapable of morality. From Gaza to Little Village to Tokyo and all over the country, the children are all ours, every single one of them, and it is our duty to fight for them.
None of these people have changed how they think. Not one of them. That was the point of opening. I know we have big Supreme Court news and we have so many other things we want to get to. The point of this was a reminder, not just to you, to me, that none of these people we've just talked about, none of this mentality has changed. None of it at all. They still want your children because they're child predators. They are still after your children because they're child predators. We can win 1,000 elections and they will still be after your children because they are child predators. Child predators cannot change. They cannot reform. There is something broken in them, and communists are child predators. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have an amazing show for you tonight. Speaking of the children, Abby Johnson hasn't joined us in a while. We'll talk to her about the latest and greatest or worse when it comes to abortion and other things. Let me talk to you. Well, yeah, I'm glad we brought this up about your cell phone company. You happy with all those pride flags? Did you pay for any of them? Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, well, I would encourage you to go look up your cell phone, your mobile provider, and see what they've been doing with your money. My company, Pure Talk, is led by a guy who did 2 tours in Vietnam. So American, they hire Americans. When you talk to somebody, it's an American who speaks English. They'll charge you less. They're on the exact same towers. Make the switch to Pure Talk. Go puretalk.com/JesseTV. Stop funding that filth. We'll be back.
You're an advocate for abortion, for abortion policy. What's your favorite type of abortion?
I am an advocate for patients having access to the full realm of reproductive health care.
But do you have a preferred method of abortion that you like?
I do not.
Let me read through a couple different methods, and I want to get your take on how much you like these. The first type is called a suction abortion. This is when the cervix is dilated and a strong suction, 29 times the power of a household vacuum cleaner, tears the baby's body apart and sucks it through the hose into a container. Do you prefer that method?
I stand by my former testimony.
After dilation of the cervix, a sharp looped knife is inserted into the uterus. The baby's body is cut into pieces and extracted, often by suction. Do you prefer that method?
What I believe we are here to talk about today is the FACE Act.
Forceps are inserted into the uterus, grabbing and twisting the baby's body to dismember him or her. If the head is too large, it must be crushed in order to remove it. Do you prefer that method?
I would prefer to talk about the reason the hearing was called and the basis of my expert testimony.
It's uncomfortable to hear this, isn't it? It is. I think it is, because it's barbaric and evil.
It is barbaric and evil, and I loved that, because they are so purposeful with how they discuss this issue, women's reproductive care and all this other crap. But the truth of it on paper is a little different, isn't it? Joining me now, the great Abby Johnson, former director of Planned Parenthood, now one of the great pro-life advocates in this country, CEO of And Then There Were None Ministries. Abby, I loved it. I know it was difficult to hear. Obviously, none of it was news to you. It's difficult for people to hear, but this is why the communists don't want us talking like this. They want it to be women's reproductive care. It sounds so lovely, doesn't it?
Yeah, I loved it. I love that Congressman Gill decided to do this. It was a perfect opportunity. I thought it made her so uncomfortable. And I love that she kept saying, this isn't what we're here to talk about. I'm here to talk about the FACE Act. Well, what do you think you guys are challenging in the FACE Act? You are challenging the fact that people are coming out here in front of these facilities protesting what you are doing inside of these facilities. And what are you doing inside of these facilities? You are doing exactly what Brandon Gill just said. You are dismembering, you are torturing, you are ripping apart babies inside of their mother's wombs. That is uncomfortable. I'm sure she doesn't want to talk about that. And you know, Jesse, it's funny because I was telling my friend today, I said, you know, when I used to work at Planned Parenthood, I would complain about the protesters and I would complain about them to my pro-life mom. And my mom, I finally stopped complaining about them to my mom because my mom always said, well, Abby, they believe you are murdering someone. So if they believe you are murdering someone, isn't it fair that they would be out there protesting? And it's the exact same thing here. We believe they are murdering children. Of course, we are going out in front of facilities doing everything possible to stop the murder. Her testimony was talking exactly about that. She just doesn't want to expose the truth.
Abby, have we failed on the pro-life side? I know every side has failures. Have we failed to talk so bluntly about the procedures themselves? Because we understand why the communist doesn't want these things discussed, because the truth is terrible, so they lie. Have we failed in being unwilling to talk about the truth?
Oh, I think 100%, Jesse. I think we have failed to talk about the barbarity of abortion. I think the pro-life movement has, they did something, you know, probably about 10, 15 years ago, where they really took a shift away from the baby and they took a shift towards focusing on the woman, which I'm not opposed to focusing on the woman. Of course, she's the one walking in to have the abortion. But what we did when we made that distinction and when we moved away from the baby was that we forgot the baby. And we forgot who the true victim of abortion is. And it is that child in the womb being dismembered, being tortured, being murdered. And we put all of the focus on the woman and we completely neglected the child. And so I think it's absolutely time for the pro-life movement to be focusing on the torturous act of abortion. You know, you very rarely see anymore even the abortion victim imagery. You know, what does it look like to a child after they are aborted? We need to be reminded, even we in the pro-life movement need to be reminded. I think that we have all become numb to what abortion actually is, and it is time for all of us to sober up.
Well, I guess if I have to defend us, it's understandable why we would become numb when Planned Parenthood set a record last year with over 400,000 abortions. There are just so freaking many of them. But maybe on that point, Abby, maybe you could describe to me how that's humanly possible. We had Roe versus Wade overturned. We have all these red states passing all these laws, banning the whole thing. This was supposed to be some tremendous win for the pro-life cause. And yet we are butchering more than ever. How is that possible?
Yeah, it's a great question and one I get all the time. So as you know and I know, abortion pills, chemical abortion pills are flooding into all 50 states. Abortion numbers are increasing in all 50 states. So even states like mine, the state of Texas, where pro-life legislative groups will tell you abortion is illegal in the state of Texas. They'll tell you abortion is illegal in the state of Louisiana and the state of Mississippi. They are lying to you. Abortion is not illegal. Abortion is actually, they are breaking records in states like Texas. We are now aborting more children than ever in these states where abortion is supposedly illegal. We are doing that through the misoprostol, mifepristone chemical abortion pills. They are going completely unregulated, being mailed unregulated, unchecked into all 50 states. And I hate to tell people, you know, this was a Biden initiative and it has been reconfirmed by Trump, by the Trump administration, not once, but twice. And it was the Trump's FDA that created access to the generic form of the chemical abortion pills, which just generated more access to these chemical abortion pills. These women are taking pills. About 70% of abortions now are done through pill. They're being mailed into women's homes, dorm rooms, all these different places. And these women are taking the pills. They are aborting their children in their homes, in public bathrooms, private bathrooms. The children are being put into toilets. They're being flushed down toilets into our water systems. I have known people that have walked into public bathrooms and have seen a dead baby floating in the toilet. This is the reality in the United States right now, and our current administration is doing nothing to stop it.
It sounds like they're doing more than nothing. It sounds like they're moving it along. Did I misinterpret
that? They're encouraging
it.
Yes, they're encouraging it. And it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone, because in the recent election, when Donald Trump was asked about chemical abortion pills, when he was asked about abortion, he stated very plainly he would do nothing to stop chemical abortion. He said he would do nothing to ban abortion. And he has, in fact, done that and worse. Not only has he done nothing to stop it, but he has helped to encourage the distribution of these pills in all 50 states. It is despicable. Women, these pills are far more dangerous than surgical abortion pills. They are being given to young women. You can go to over 70 websites right now. You can put in any name, any date of birth. You could be a 13-year-old who's being sex trafficked. You could be a 12-year-old who's being sexually abused by her soccer coach. You could be a man who's going on to get these pills to slip them in your girlfriend's drink so that she unknowingly has an abortion. They don't verify your age. They don't verify your name, your date of birth. They don't verify that you're a woman or a man. They don't verify any information. You never speak to a doctor. You actually never speak to a human being. I just went through this process about a year ago to find out what it looked like. I never spoke to a human being. Everything was done by email, by autoresponder. I got the pills sent to my home in 2 days for free. I got enough pills sent to me for free to do 4 abortions in my home. Women are dying from these abortion procedures. They're going to hospitals. They have no appropriate care. They're not talking to doctors. They're not talking to nurses before they get these pills. And by the way, they don't even verify to find out if the woman has a pregnancy in her uterus. She could have an ectopic pregnancy. And Jesse, if a woman takes these pills and she has an ectopic pregnancy, she can die. The abortion industry does not care about women. They do not care about the health and safety of women. And this is happening day in and day out. Thousands of these pills being sent in weekly to unsuspecting women, women that have no idea that they are going to feel like they're dying. More than 50% of women who take these pills state that they felt like they were dying as they were passing their baby through their uterus. This is absolutely abhorrent, and it's happening, and it's being affirmed and expanded by our current supposed pro-life administration.
Abby, thanks for what you do. Keep going. All right. James Comey, is he going to prison? We'll talk to Jim Jordan about that next. Before we talk to Jim Jordan, let me talk to you about feeling better, feeling like you have more energy, in a better mood. That's what testosterone does. You understand that testosterone is about your mind. It's what it is. What if you could be better, full of pep, at work, at home, on the weekend? What if when you got home at the end of the day, you weren't dying to throw your comfies on and just plop down and do nothing? What if you were like, hey, let's go for a walk. I want to go out. I want to do something. What if you felt like that? Well, you can with natural herbal supplements from Chalk. If you take a male vitality stack from Chalk for just 90 days, probably less than that, you're going to feel like a new person. 20% increase in your T levels. They have female vitality stacks for the ladies. Go start your natural herbal supplements from Chalk. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
District of North Carolina returned an indictment against James Comey on two counts. The first count is that on or about May 15th of last year, he knowingly and willfully making a threat to take the life of and to inflict bodily harm upon the President of the United States. Count two, same day, May 15th, 2025, that the defendant, James Comey, knowingly and willfully transmitting in interstate commerce a communication that contained a threat to kill the President of the United States. Both of these counts carry a maximum term of imprisonment of 10 years. You are not allowed to threaten the President of the United States of America. That's not my decision. That's Congress's decision and a statute that they passed that we charge multiple times a year.
That sounds quite serious. Joining me now to tell me just how serious it is, the great Jim Jordan, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. Congressman, all right, so I hear things all over the map, and since I'm stupid and I don't know anything about legal matters, I don't know what to believe. I've heard that James Comey is in serious trouble. I've heard this is something that's going to get washed away. What is it?
Well, it's exactly what the Attorney General said. 18 U.S.C. Section 871 says you cannot threaten the president. That's a crime. And Jim Comey did that. Now, he tries to say he didn't. He tries to say he was, you know, strolling along the beach, sipping his coffee in North Carolina, and, you know, the good Lord, the waves rushed up onto the shore and formed these shells in an 86-47 formation. But we all know what was going on here. So it was a threat. He transmitted that threat. Those are two crimes. That's what he's being charged with. And I think it's also important to add, Jim Comey is the guy who leaked information that was classified through his buddy Daniel Richmond to the press. He's the guy who did the Comey memos. He's the guy who took the fake dossier that he knew was fake. He's the guy who took it to the secret court to get the warrant to spy on President Trump's campaign. He's the guy that started all this stuff over the last decade. So God bless Todd Blanche, the Attorney General, for the good work he's doing.
I hate to transition, but I love to see these deep state types getting themselves in trouble. Here's the former director of the CIA. I still can't believe that's real, John Brennan.
The reality is there is a similar zeal to punish you for exercising your, doing more than exercising your First Amendment rights, for doing your job as the then director of the CIA. What is it like to sort of watch this news come across the, it's not a wire anymore, but come across our devices?
Well, Nicole, an overused term is appalling. I find it appalling. Jim Comey served as a U.S. attorney and the deputy attorney general for President George W. Bush. He served as the director of FBI for President Barack Obama. It is absurd to think that Jim Comey would be advocating violence against anyone, much less a president of the United States. I served with Jim Comey during the last years of the Obama administration. He is somebody who I think served his country with integrity, with professionalism, and with determination to make sure that the rule of law was going to be followed.
Well, I don't know if there's a bigger indictment than of James Comey than John Brennan's endorsement. Be that as it may, I hear John Brennan might be in some trouble himself.
Yeah, John Brennan lied to us as well. John Brennan, when we deposed him last Congress, lied to us about what I was just talking about. He lied to us about the impact of the dossier and what part it played in what's called the intelligence community assessment. It was changed based on the dossier, and we know that because of information Mr. Ratcliffe and Tulsi Gabbard declassified and released last summer. So we looked at that information, we took it back and compared it to what John Brennan said, and they don't match up. And that's why we referred him to the Justice Department. And I always point out, Jesse, we don't do these referrals very often. It has to be warranted. It has to be, the facts have to be there. They most definitely were with Brennan. That's why we referred him, and that's being looked at here in DC. But then there's also this broader conspiracy that he was working with Comey and all of them back 10 years ago on this undermining of President Trump. That's being looked at in the Southern District of Florida. That's my understanding. And we'll see where all this goes.
Congressman, tell me about Act Blue. So many people don't understand how gigantic and frankly evil this organization is. You've been on it. What's happening? What is this place?
Well, you're right. It's the money machine behind the left and the Democrat Party. Last cycle, I think it was $3.8 billion they raised for left-wing Democrat candidates. There were first-time candidates running for Congress. People never even heard of these individuals who are raising $2 and $3 million every single quarter. That's the money machine that was there. There was a letter sent by Congress to the CEO. She responded back, no, we've got all the safeguards in place. We're not accepting any foreign money. We're checking and doing all that. And then that was contradicted by not Republicans in Congress, but by her lawyer. Her lawyer wrote her letter and said, hey, you may not have been accurate in what you said to Congress. You may have misrepresented how you checked for preventing foreign contributions from being given to candidates. In other words, that was a nice way of her lawyer saying, you may have lied to Congress. And so we dug into this. We've been digging into this. We deposed five people from ActBlue. Every single one of them took the fifth. Some of these guys, one individual was the general counsel who was fired and got this big severance package. We brought him in. He wouldn't tell us anything. So we're going to continue to investigate and see what's going on here.
Congressman, I understand they hide as much as they possibly can because, well, that's what communists do. But how much of this stuff do we believe is foreign money? Every time I talk to someone who investigates these things, they tell me there is just gobs and gobs of money coming in from overseas, nefarious sources, foreign governments even, and somehow worming its way into Democrat coffers. Do you believe that?
I don't know. It sure looks like that could be the case, but I don't know for sure, and that's why we're doing our oversight work, which the Constitution requires the legislative branch to do. But the Justice Department, my understanding, is also looking into ActBlue. Were they breaking the law? And the law, of course, says you can't take foreign contributions into American. We don't want that in American elections and American campaigns. So we'll see. But there's all kinds of, you know, the old adage is when you see all kinds of smoke, there may be a fire. Well, there's when you got the five key people in the fraud division at ActBlue, four of them resigning shortly after the 2024 election, the general counsel being fired but giving a big severance package, an agreement where he signed also saying that he would have to talk with ActBlue before he talks to anyone else. Maybe that's why he took the fifth, I don't know. When they all take the fifth, I think that's a concern. And so we're gonna keep looking and see what we find out. But it sure looks like they may have been accepting foreign contributions.
Congressman, go get him. Appreciate you, sir. All right. The Supreme Court, they delivered a win today. The current state of affairs when it comes to how we drew congressional districts for specific skin colors is just bonkers. But that went away today. What happened? Why did it happen? What does it mean? Bill Jacobson joins us next. Some days we get wins in the courts and some days we get losses. And you know how this goes. We lick our wounds on the days we get losses. And some days we can stand up and cheer. I think today is a day we can stand up and cheer. But as always, we have to go ask Bill Jacobson about that, founder of Legal Insurrection, Cornell Law. All right, Bill, this redistricting case, what was it? And should I be cheering or not?
Yes, and I don't come on your show very often and tell you to smile, but you can smile today.
Yes. Okay.
And today was a big win in and of itself, and it potentially has a ripple effect that could net Republicans 4, 5, 6 seats in the upcoming midterms. And what today was a challenge to a district drawn in Louisiana that was drawn in such a way, one of those snake-like districts, that it ensured a majority black district. And they did that for fear that if they didn't do that, that it would be struck down by the courts. The Supreme Court said that in this case, that was actually unconstitutional. Deliberately drawing a district based on race to achieve a racial outcome is not permitted by the Constitution, contrary to what others thought was permissible. And to the extent the Voting Rights Act purports to require that, and the court said it didn't necessarily require that, but to the extent it would require the deliberate drawing of race-based districts. That was unconstitutional. And this has a huge impact. Not only will it likely result in one additional seat for Republicans in Louisiana, but there are several other states where maps had been drawn to require a majority black district. And they're very frequently contorted maps to get that result. Those are going to be challenged right away. I believe the governor of Mississippi has already said, we're going to challenge this map. We're going to seek to undo it. We're going to call a special legislative session. So this will have a huge impact. This will probably net Republicans. Again, I've seen various estimates, but 4, 5, 6 additional seats is probably pretty accurate. And then there's the big kahuna, which is California. California's map, which is going to net the Democrats a lot of seats, was challenged as racially discriminatory, that they used race to try to harm Republicans. The Supreme Court previously declined to hear that challenge, but with this new decision, who knows whether that can be rekindled. The big issue is, can this all be done in time for the midterms? And I'd say in several states, yes, absolutely. California would be a long shot, even if they could get it reopened, just timing-wise. It's a complicated map.
Okay, couple details here, Bill, which you just kind of addressed, because I am admittedly obsessed with the midterms. I am desperate to keep these people from power, and I'm hyper-focused on that type of thing. All right, so Mississippi already says, all right, our map sucks. All right, so now they have to call a legislative session. We're still waiting on other states to do this kind of thing. This sounds like a process that is not going to be fast enough to net me Republican seats by November. Am I being just a Debbie Downer about it?
Yeah, a little bit. I think in several of the states, they can absolutely get it done in time for the November election. Like I said, California would be a legal long shot, but even if they could get it reopened, probably can't get it done by November. And so, yeah, I think this will almost certainly net Republicans several more states. That's the view, and other states can do it quickly. There then may be court challenges, but those court challenges in light of today's decision are probably going to lose. So I would expect Alabama, Mississippi, I think South Carolina to move very quickly to adjust their maps and to get rid of the type of district the Supreme Court has ruled unconstitutional. Remember, what they would be doing is saying, in light of this ruling, our map is unconstitutional. We need to fix it quickly. So I think that will get done in most places. There have been rumors, accusations, that Kagan sat on her dissent to push this as far as she possibly can. I don't know if those rumors are true, but it's tight. It would have been better if this decision, which was argued last October, it would have been better if this decision came down a month ago. Who knows? That was allegedly the gambit being played.
All right, what's this mean, or does it mean anything for Virginia's ridiculous map? Where are we at with that?
Yeah, well, Virginia, I don't think it's going to make a difference there. That is before the Virginia Supreme Court. The lower court ruled that the map did not follow the constitutional requirements in Virginia. You have to take certain steps. I think the court listed 4, 5, or 6 things they cheated on. Okay, they didn't follow the process. That was argued before the Virginia Supreme Court earlier this week, and the court declined to issue a stay of the lower court ruling. What that means is, as of now, there is no new map in Virginia, and the Supreme Court declined to issue temporary relief to reinstate the maps that were approved by the referendum. That's usually a sign of how a court's going to rule on the merits. Not always, not a guarantee. I'd much rather, though, legally be in the Republican position. But Virginia has nothing to do with the Voting Rights Act. What it has to do with is that they didn't follow the procedures. They tried to cheat on the procedures, unlike other states. I mean, California, you know, Newsom and Crowd followed the procedures. We may not like the result. We may think there's a racial gerrymander issue, but they did follow the procedures for a referendum. In Virginia, they clearly did not.
Bill, I cannot possibly let you go without asking about this James Comey indictment. And I ask it because, look, people who, like me, who hate James Comey, we see the headlines and we celebrate. But I know a lot of very legal, brilliant legal people who I reached out to, and almost to a man, they told me this thing's about as thin as a supermodel. What's going on with this?
Yeah, well, it's him posting, I think it was on Instagram, maybe it was X also, seashells forming 8647, which could be commonly understood to mean to kill the 47th president. The question is going to be, a court's going to have to initially rule, is that even a clear enough threat that it falls under the criminal law? And I think that's going to be a toss-up. Maybe the government has other evidence, but just posting that, I think, is pretty thin, unless they have something more to show that it was intended as a threat. I think we all knew he was playing it cute with that, and he took it down right after people started complaining. So I think he knew he had crossed the line. The question is whether it's going to hold up for criminal charges. I can't predict that. The fact that it's seashells is irrelevant, okay? It's the message. The fact that he posted on Instagram is irrelevant. It's the message. Did he intend that to be received as a threat by the president? And that is really the issue. I don't know which way that one's going to go. I certainly can't criticize people who say it's pretty thin and it may not survive. On the other hand, we don't know if they have his text messages. We don't know if they have his conversations indicating he was trying to intimidate the president. If they have that other evidence, maybe it'll survive.
Bill, you're the best. Thank you, sir. Lighten the mood. Next. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. And I love it that communists are dumb and so many of our people are smart. And when we get in these debates with these people, so oftentimes their dumbness is revealed. Rosa DeLauro is that witch-looking freak you've seen several times before in the Democrat Party. She decided she wanted to tangle with the great Lee Zeldin. And man, that was not a good idea.
When climate change is flooding our streets, poisoning our air, driving up health care and disaster costs, how can the EPA justify abandoning that duty to protect Americans, to appease polluters under the false flag of economic growth?
Following the law, Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, where does it say anything about fighting global climate change? Loper-Bright, Supreme Court case, you're familiar with it?
No, I maybe others are. I'm not, but let me ask.
But that's really important. As a member of Congress, Loper-Bright says that we as an agency don't have the authority to get creative if Section 202 of the Clean Air Act.
No, but you don't have, excuse me, you do not have the right to say climate change does not exist, that it's a hoax, and that's where this administration is coming from.
I understand you're upset that you don't know what Loper-Bright is. Do you know what the major policies doctrine is?
I'm upset because...
Do you know what the major policies doctrine is?
You know what, let me just...
You're a member of Congress. You should know.
Well, you have moved from someone who defended the environment to all of a sudden
I'm very defensive about not knowing the two biggest landmark Supreme Court cases of the last year
with regards to your question. You are very defensive about changing your policy and your positions with regard to the environment.
Okay.
Now, you just tell
me. You want me to tell you what the two biggest
Supreme Court
cases are
me.
Of the last few years?
This is what I want you
Michigan
to tell
versus
me.
EPA.
Whoa.
West Virginia versus EPA.
You know, you're here because you need money from us. So halt for the second and wait for the questions and answer the question.
Well, I answered your question.
No, you didn't.
And you didn't like my answer because you don't know what
Loper-Bright
is, because you don't know what the major policies doctrine is.
Chairman.
You think I made up these cases?
Yeah, I think you have made up a
whole
lot of
BS. I made up Loper-Bright. I made up West Virginia versus EPA. I made up Michigan versus EPA.
Woe is right. What are you doing? Why are you helping polluters?
I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.